Sometimes on a Sunday there comes such a confluence of events that must be addressed, and this is such a Sunday. Juneteenth on Friday, summer solstice, this longest day as of 4:24 a.m. this morning, Father's Day, and the only Sunday this year that the Glitter Blessing and Pride Service worked with our worship schedule. So it's another happy everything day. In this confluence and in this month where we ponder what it means to flourish together, today I invite us to consider that flourishing together means protecting what is precious. The meaning of this word precious has expanded in recent years, frankly in a way I'm not sure I like, but they didn't ask me. It's being used sometimes now sort of insulting, like maybe something that's somebody's giving too much importance to. Writers, artists, maybe coworkers are often described as being precious about their work when they're defensive about edits or overly protective of their creative output. So people say that something becomes too precious, or we hold it, you know, it's precious. But today I'm talking about the word precious as ascribing immense value, something we cherish deeply or hold very dear. I think the point about the other way of using the word precious is that we can't hold something so close that we limit its growth, its freedom, or its evolution. And I don't know if this is true in other areas of the country or other families even, but in my family, young children were often referred to as precious, meaning they need and deserve protection. And calling them precious is a statement of love and implies a tenderness toward and a commitment to them, not to keeping them the same, but a commitment to supporting their growth and their flourishing. Today, in this confluence of events worth celebrating, I submit to you that all of life is precious, in the best sense of the word, and worth protecting. The earth, the air, the fire, the water. The environment is worth protecting. The LGBTQIAA+ community, especially those most targeted right now, transgender individuals, are worth protecting. The marginalized, the poor, the downtrodden, the outcast. Let us cast no one aside. Children are worth protecting. Women are worth protecting. Black history is worth protecting. It is not lost on me that on a day when we celebrate Pride, that we're also honoring this gendered holiday of Father's Day. Just as with Mother's Day, complicated feelings can arise because of the fathers we had, the present and the absent, the wonderful and the challenging, perhaps because of your own ambivalence about being a father or the fact that you take it quite seriously. I read the other day that patriarchy teaches men to bury their pain and call it strength. To bury their pain and to call that strength. As I look around this room, I'm grateful for those of you who model the best of what you learned from your fathers or father figures, and for those of you who see what patriarchy has taught you and decided to move through the world in a different way, to choose a different path, to peel the layers of patriarchy away, to acknowledge your pain, and to find authenticity and true connection. That's how we change the world. We will never be done with patriarchy, I fear. But it is so much more freeing to evolve out of it than to stay in it. And we are all in it. We are all in it. So I invite all of us to smash the patriarchy and embrace the best and most needed parts of the masculine within us. This is my last Sunday with you for a few weeks. Next week, I will be at my husband's church in the morning, and at 12:30, I hope to see you at the Celebration of Life for Monica Swidell at the Lodge at Bernie and Hal and Bernie Hanson Park. And then I'm off for most of July. If you have a pastoral emergency, I will want to know it. So just contact our admin, Gabby Berry, if that's the case. I want to end this very short homily this morning with a beautiful and life-affirming poem by Matt Moberg. Life is precious and worth protecting, so settle in. It's lengthy and it's quite powerful. I think every human being eventually has a moment where they are standing outside in sweatpants that have lost the will to be pants. Holding a trash bag, a divorce, a parking ticket, or some other receipt from the universe that says, surprise, this too is part of it. And then the sky bruises purple and the air touches your face like it knows your whole story. And suddenly you realize all the real is actually unreal. The dirt, the breath, the weird little bones in your hand, the fact that we are here on a floating rock with pollen counts, paying bills, missing dead people, loving living people who say, leaving now, while still fully naked and looking for socks. And still, the moon clocks in. No applause, no benefits, no notes from management saying, great work being ancient and luminous again. Just the moon, working nights like a single mother with no applause, packing silver lunches for every dark thing that still has to rise. Tell me that isn't holy. Tell me there is a better word than sacred for the way light keeps returning with no guarantee that we will actually stop and take note. I know people who believe in therapy, probiotics, tarot, 12-step meetings, manifestation journals, and waiting exactly 11 minutes before texting back so they do not appear emotionally available. Even though their whole nervous system is standing in the driveway holding flowers. And underneath all of it, every ritual, every doctrine, every smoothie with chia seeds, the prayer is the same. Please let me be loved. Please let me be forgiven. Please let this strange little life mean something before my lower back submits its formal resignation. What is going on? For real though, what is this place? This unbearable tenderness of being alive long enough to watch steam lift from coffee in winter, like a soul practicing leaving, to see your friend laugh so hard they slap the table as if joy is a mosquito they are trying to kill, to hear a child say, Pischetti, and for one shining second realize language has finally been improved. I know I already noted this in the first piece, but the older I get, the less use I have for certainty. Certainty has never made me pull over because the sunset looked like God dropped a jar of peach jam across the whole Midwestern sky and decided to be lazy and not clean it up. Certainty has never made me gasp at rain on hot pavement. Holding Captain Crunch. Oh, certainty has never found me in the cereal aisle holding Captain Crunch, suddenly remembering that everyone I have ever loved was made from stardust, was made from hunger and a series of decisions we probably should have slept on. No, it has always been awe. Awe was the first church, before steeples, before committees, before men got involved and started making rules about skirts. That's right. All was there with its wild hair and muddy feet saying, "Look, look again, look until looking becomes love." Awe and soup. Awe and someone rubbing your back when you are sick. Awe and old couples at Target arguing gently about avocados as if marriage is not one vow but 10,000 errands performed performed beside the person who knows exactly how you like the cart pushed. Maybe gratitude was never meant to sound elegant. Maybe gratitude sounds like, "Damn, that woodpecker is trying to beat that tree from itself." Maybe gratitude sounds like, "Thank you, body, for continuing to drag me through this world despite the many Slim Jims I have done to you at gas stations." Maybe gratitude sounds like, "Thank you to the dogs who lose their entire minds when we come home as if we have returned from war and not Walgreens." For me, that might be my gospel, that joy does not wait for us to be impressive, but only needs us to come through the door. Because the truth is, this life is devastating and ridiculous. One minute you are 22 and invincible, driving too fast, eating gas station nachos with the confidence of a Greek god. And the next minute you are Googling, "Can sneezing cause a hamstring injury?" And the answer is apparently, welcome to the second half of your life. But even now, even tired, even grieving, even emotionally held together by iced coffee, playlist, and one very specific Wolves hoodie, we keep finding reasons to stay soft. We plant tomatoes even though grief is real. We bake bread even though the news is on fire. We send photos of the sky to people we love with captions like, "Look," as if beauty is an emergency and we are all volunteer firefighters. We keep saying, "You have to see this," because wonder is the oldest form of resurrection. So here's to the believers and the atheists and the agnostics and the people whose entire theology is just trying not to cry in the DMV line. Here's to the people clinging to faith. Here's to the people clinging to Xanax and oat milk and the one group chat where nobody pretends to be okay. Here's to the tender-hearted weirdos, the accidental mystics, the ones who can contemplate mortality for 6 straight hours and then become emotionally attached to the perfect peach. The one who know despair has a mouth, but so does laughter. May we never stop being dropped, kicked by beauty in the middle of a Sunday afternoon. May we never become so polished that we forget how to stand in the Starbucks line of existence with our dumb, gorgeous hearts open, feeling the enormity of it all rattle around in our bones like thunder, looking for somewhere to laugh. And may we remember, whatever else this is, whatever mess, whatever miracle, whatever cosmic group project no one was prepped for, all of it is astonishing that we are here, that we have loved enough to be ruined, that the moon keeps showing up, that bread exists. So pass it on. Tear off a piece with your bare hands. Take it in as you take it down, and then go outside and look at the moon.